Morning, Uncle Frank. Makes it official. I can start when I say Uncle Frank. Amen. Well, I hope when you came in, y'all got your button. Did y'all get a button this morning? Everybody? Anybody doesn't have a button? Jack. We have some. Jack. Jack, we have some people who don't have buttons. Make sure they get a button. Make sure they get a button. As you know, we've been talking lately, and I keep talking about when you go to the Lord, you know, you don't press the panic button no matter what you're in. You always press the easy button. The easy button makes it easy when you go to God. And that's why we have that. And what's he say whenever you press the easy button?
That was easy.
Did you get that, Kyle?
That was easy.
And that's what we got to realize, that it is easy. When you go to God, it becomes easy. You may not be able to see the outcome of it yourself, but when it's all over with, you sit down and you say, wow, that was easy. That wasn't as hard as I thought it was. In fact, you don't even remember some of the stuff you go through, and it becomes that easy, especially when you ask for God's help. You got to ask, though. He can do remarkable things. So remarkable that he became our victor. Through Jesus Christ, we have victory. There's a song by David Bell. It's called, I've Got the Victor Living in Me. And it goes, I've got the victor living in me. Yes, I've got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me. So I will sing and I will dance. I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our house at El Equipo Christian Assembly, for the victor has won the war. Jesus is our victor. He won the war. Victory is ours. It's ours. Not going to be, it is ours. So what do we do? It says, I raise a hallelujah, the victor lives inside of me. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. See, you make that very personal. When you raise your hallelujahs, and you raise your hallelujahs louder and louder and louder, for you have the victory. You have the victor living in you. Think about it. We have the victor living in us. Scripture says it, does it not? Greater is he that is living in you than he that is living in the world. The victor lives inside of you. Sometimes, though, in all the hoopla and things of life called circumstances, we forget who we are and what we have, especially how what God has given us. Victory. Victory. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What are we? More than conquerors, through him who loved us. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. What things? Troubles, problems, persecution, no food, no clothing, dangers we face, even death. we are more than conquerors. The Amplified Classic says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Surpassing victory. And the Living Bible says, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. We are more than conquerors. And to conquer is to be victorious over an adversary. And to be more than a conqueror means we not only achieve victory, but we are overwhelmingly victorious. If the final score of a basketball game is 142-26, we know that the opposition put up a fight, but they were no match for the victors. The win was beyond the scope of a regular victory. Are you getting it now? More than conquerors? And the accuser, though, that sly, cunning stealer of every good thing, he takes every advantage he can through thoughts, through a situation, to not just put you out of commission for just a moment, but forever. He just waits for the opportunity. Through Jesus, though, God has given us access and dominion over everything known and unknown to man. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, are you ready, and subdue it. Subdue it. The Hebrew word for subdue is kabash. It means to conquer and bring into subjection, put under one's control. Goes on to say, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything living that moves on the earth. And the Hebrew word here for dominion is arada. It means to rule over, have supreme authority. God has given us the authority to subdue, which is to conquer, and to have dominion, rule over it. Yes. What is it? Oh, it is the devil, fear, lack, drama, death, everything. Everything in the dictionary. All sorts of other things. Oh, really? Used to indicate related but unspecified events, facts, or conditions. All the pains, sicknesses, and diseases. Everything. That's in the dictionary. All pains, sicknesses, and diseases. That's everything, folks. That's everything. Sometimes, though, we get bogged down by all the junk in life. Like I said, we forget exactly who we are and who our Father is. We are King's kids. Let me say that again. We are King's kids. And say that. Say, I am a King's kid.
I'm a King's kid.
Come on, a little stronger.
I'm a King's kid.
That's right. When you say I'm a King's kid, you're royalty. Yeah. Think about that. You are royalty. You are a kid of the Most High God. And you are wonderfully made, folks. Wonderfully made. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it says, Marvelous are your works. You folks are simply marvelous. You simply must believe it. He is your creator. You are marvelously made, fearfully and wonderfully. He makes nothing but the best. Satan wants to convince you otherwise. No way. God makes nothing but the best. You have joy, happiness, health, prosperity, and every promise that is in the Bible. And they're yours. Right now. Today. They're yours. They are yours. Now, there are thousands of promises in the Bible, although they are not all referred to as promises, but they are God's Word. They are God's Word. Now, these promises are God's promises to the church. And a promise is a promise. Am I right, Bill? Somebody makes a promise, it's a promise. And when someone makes a promise to you, you expect them to fulfill that promise, do you not? So when it comes to God's promises, put your faith in Him and expect them to be fulfilled. You must expect them to be fulfilled. Because if you aren't expecting them, ain't nothing going to happen. Because that means you don't have no faith in Him to deliver on His promises, on His Word. Faith. But this is God making the promises. So in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? God cannot lie. So every time He says He is going to do something, it can be counted as a promise. Has He spoken it, and will He not make it good? So when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, realize what it declares is, in fact, a promise. It is a promise. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Subdue it. Conquer it. Have dominion. Rule over it. Rule over it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You know, though, even with facts like that, we still have to be reminding ourselves that victory really is ours. Am I the only one that has to remind myself of that? No. You think what Bob and his wife are going through, he has to sit down and remind himself, victory's ours. Victory's ours. Honey, victory's ours. And she looks at him and says, same thing. She says, the victory's ours. They do that to lift one another up. And they also notice people praying for them. The prayers of righteous men and women availeth much. And you all are righteous because Jesus made you righteous. So your prayers are felt for them. See, because when they get down and they start having the thoughts, because we all have these thoughts, they also remember, wait a minute, there's people out there praying for me. And then that strength comes into them. And then they start praising God. They start raising a hallelujah. How many of us have all had to be there? Yeah, we've experienced it. That's why God in his amazing wisdom, gave us his word. That's why he gave us his word. Because he knows we need it. We need it. We need to read it. We need to be in it. Because how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And he also gave us, as we saw there, songs of praise. So that we could be and are easily reminded of all the great things he wants to and longs to accomplish for us. When we sing praises, it lifts us up. And when we sing those words of promise, we must simply believe. Simply believe in him to do what he says he will do. Victory is ours, folks. The spirit of the victor is living inside you. He's got a name. Jehovah Nissi. How many of you remember the song Jehovah Nissi? Lift up the standard, no matter what the cost. Exalt the name of Jesus and the banner of the cross. We have a firm foundation, a rock, the cornerstone. Exalt the King of glory who reigns upon the throne. No weapon formed against us, no fortress too high, can stand against the host of God amidst the battle cry. So lift the banner higher and raise a joyful sound and glorify the King as Satan's walls come tumbling down. Jehovah Nissi, reign in victory. Jehovah Nissi, reign in victory. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi. He's reigning in victory. And we are reigning along with him, are we not? So we are reigning in victory. Simple. Simply believe it. It's true. You reign in victory along with him. And one who reigns in victory is always lifted high above their troubles. Always. See, it kind of gives you a high. And it puts a smile on your face. That's the kind of high you want to be on. That's the best kind of high there is. And it's found in Jesus. Found in Jesus, oh yes. So why are so many people looking so down and discouraged? In Psalm 43, verse 5, the Living Bible. Oh my soul, why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trust in God. I shall again praise him for his wondrous help. That's all you got to do. Push the easy button. He will make me smile again, for he is my God. And he is an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. When we are down and can't seem to come up with a solution to the situation that you're in, what do?
That was easy.
Go to him. Take your problem to him. And then all you have to do after that is raise a hallelujah. That was easy, wasn't it? I mean, the testimonies are in there. There's a man that we should be going to visit at the cemetery. And he's sitting back there. And he raised a hallelujah. See, because we got to remember, we're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory today. We already have the victory. What Jesus has already done for us, that's what makes the whole difference. And it's only made possible because of what he did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, the ringleader announced, "Tonight, are you ready to rumble?" And what was done to Jesus before he even entered the ring? What he endured? While he hung on the cross, he declared victory when he said, "It is finished. It is finished." He was loudly saying, "Devil, you're going down." He entered the ring and came out the champion. The champion. I wasn't going to do this, but God said, "Do it." And I said, "Okay." So I put it back in here. Carmen's song. You remember? The champion. The audience for the fight of the ages was assembled and in place. The angels came in splendor from a star. The saints that had gone before were there. Jeremiah, Enoch, Job. They were singing the song of Zion on David's harp. The demons arrived, offensive and vile, cursing and blaspheming God, followed by their trophies dead and gone, Hitler, Napoleon, Pharaoh, Capone, tormented and vexed and grieved, waiting for their judgment from the throne. Then a chill swept through the mammoth crowd, and the demons squealed with glee as a vulgar and repulsive essence was felt. Arrogantly pacing, hands held high, draped in a sparkling shroud, trolled by demons, Satan ascended from hell. Then Satan cringed. The sinners groaned. The demons reeled in pain as a swell of power like silent thunder rolled. With a surge of light beyond intense, illuminating the universe, in resplendent glory appeared the Son of God. Then a persona, yes, extraordinaire, appeared in center ring. God the Father will oversee the duel, opening the book of life, each grandstand hushed in awe, as majestically he said, "Now here's the rules. He'll be wounded for their transgressions, bruised for iniquities." When he said, "By his stripes they're healed," the devil shook. He screamed, "Sickness is my specialty. I hate that healing junk." God said, "You shut your face. I wrote the book." Then the Father looked at his only Son and said, "You know the rules. Your blood will cleanse their sins and calm their fears." Then he pointed his finger at Satan and said, "And I know you know the rules. You've been twisting them to deceive my people for years." Satan screamed, "I'll kill you, Christ. You'll never win this fight." The demons wheezed. "That's right. There ain't no way." Satan jeered, "You're dead meat, Jesus. I'm going to bust you up tonight." Jesus said, "Go ahead. Make my day." The bell rang. The crowd cheered. The fight was on, and the devil leaped in fury. With all his evil tricks, he came undone. He threw his jabs of hate and lust, a stab of pride and envy. But the hand that knew no sin blocked every one. 40 days and nights they fought, and Satan couldn't touch him. Now the final blow, saved for the final round. Prophetically, Christ's hands came down, and Satan struck in a vengeance. The blow of death fell Jesus to the ground. The devils roared in victory. The saints, shocked and perplexed as wounds, appeared upon his hands and feet. Then Satan kicked him in his side, and blood and water flowed, and they waited for the 10 count of defeat. God the Father turned his head, his tears announcing Christ was dead. The 10 count would proclaim the battle's end. Then Satan trembled through his sweat in unexpected horror yet as God started to count by saying, 10. Wait a minute, God. 9. Stop. You're counting wrong. 8. His eyes are moving. 7. His fingers are twitching. 6. Where's all this light coming from? 5. He's alive. 4. Oh, no. 3. And yet, 2. And yes, 1. He has won. He has won. He has risen. And he's alive forevermore, folks. He's alive forevermore. He didn't get defeated. He got the victory. He is the champion. Satan has been defeated. Got to remember that. We have that victory because of what Jesus did. Yeah, who was ready to rumble? Jesus was, for sure. See, we all have a choice to make daily to lean on, trust in, and to be confident in our champion, Jesus, and live in victory. Or trust in the flesh and our self-effort, thus living in defeat all the time. That's what it'll get you, folks. I know at times it may seem, though, that you are constantly bombarded with the drama of life that the devil manages to somehow always steer your way. The devil is busier now than he has ever been in the history of the world. But as busy as he is, Jesus is busier getting ready for the main event that is yet to come. And while that day is anxiously awaited upon, well, until then, Jesus is tirelessly working behind the scenes. Working behind the scenes to bless you. Yes, to bless you and to show you grace, his unmerited favor. He wants to show you his unmerited favor in your life. John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal. See, the first thing he has to do is come steal. And what's he going to steal? He's going to steal the word from you. And if he can steal the word from you, then he can kill. And then he can destroy. If he can manage to steal the word from you. Jesus went on to say, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it, again, more abundantly. Jesus came so we could have his very best, his abundance, his everything, his extravagant love. Yes, and it's all raining down and it's showering our lives. Now think about that. The abundance of Jesus' favor just raining down on you, right? All I got to say, let it pour, let it pour. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. We want to be operating, as our pastor taught us, in the fog, the favor of God. You got to confess it and you got to believe it. There's two things to it. See? Confess the favor that you have with God. Because you're special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are simply marvelous, folks. You are marvelous. That favor is out there so much for each and every one of us. You don't even realize sometimes the favor of God that's on you. We overlook some of the simplest things. We all think it has to be some big major thing. Recognize he's covered you in everything. In a parking space, that's favor, where you decide when it's raining, you get right up front. That's favor. You get in a line and you got a couple items and there's people ahead of you with a whole bunch and they say, hey, you want to go ahead up there? You only got a couple of them. That's favor. They don't have to give you that spot. Because I've been there. Some people won't give you that spot. They got to have a buggy that eye, and you got two things. Well, you're going to wait till I get done. Okay. And I say, bless them, Lord. And then I tell Trace, go find an open aisle. Jesus, hallelujah. But also his favor provides. It's protection. In Psalm 5, verse 12, it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." We are the righteous, and He's going to bless us. "With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." And what's a shield do? Provides protection. And Satan, he doesn't want us to have that type of protection. He didn't want us to have that favor. That's why he worked so hard at tempting Jesus. Yeah, he was tempting Jesus before he ever went to the cross. But see, Jesus wasn't having it, not for a moment. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 3. "Now when the tempter," and we know who the tempter is, "came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread.'" Isn't that just like the devil? "If you are the Son of God, then show me. Come on, prove it." Jesus didn't have to prove anything to him. No, he did not. The only thing that Jesus had to remind him of was the fact, "Victory is mine. Get thee behind me." Verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" You know, I'm sure the devil was feeling that he's about to get his butt whipped. But that didn't stop him. And it never does. Verse 5. "Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" again with the same question, "'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" He couldn't even quote the word right. "Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" And you think he would quit? Oh no, Satan doesn't quit. Verse 8, "Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you.'" Look at them, Jesus. Look at those cities down there. They'll all be yours. All this land, everything that you see, it can be yours. "And I will give them to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, you notice he didn't say it in the other two, but in this one he says, "Away with you, Satan. Told him to get away." He didn't in the first two, did he? He came back a third time. "Get away. When he's playing with your head, tell him, 'Get thee behind me. Get out of my house. Get out of my house.'" This is your house, folks. While you're on this earth, this is your house. Yeah, you live in a house, but your body is a house. In fact, it's a temple. It is a temple. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The temple. "Then Jesus said, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Al, that's when Satan leaves. He left him, but only for a little while. He poked at Jesus all the while he was on the earth. In all the time that's passed since then, he still uses the same old tricks. Satan tempts and pokes each and every one of us, doesn't he? That is why we have to be on top of our game, folks. We have to be on top of our game. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Don't be that someone. Don't be that someone. But just like Jesus did, answer the temptations and the attacks with the Word. Because the Word works. And like Jesus, we also need to remind him, tell him, "Victory is mine. Get thee behind me." Yeah, you tell him the same thing. Victory is yours already. Get thee behind me. Sometimes we need to do this on a daily basis. Sometimes on a moment-by-moment basis. Because I know I'm not the only one. You're not alone. You got to always remember, the victor lives in you. Whatever you're facing, do not push the panic button. No matter what it looks like, don't push the panic button. Walk over to Jesus.
That was easy.
Push the easy button, folks. And that's what you'll hear. That was easy. Because there's nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing impossible for our God. Somebody thinks something's been destroyed? God can resurrect anything. He can resurrect the human body. Judy was just telling me some very interesting stories back there of testimonies she witnessed and saw. She was telling me about Kenneth Copeland and his heart problems. Kenneth Copeland had a heart problem. Went in, and the body, supernatural, his body grew a new passageway around the vessel that was plugged in his heart. Now, they didn't have to do surgery on him. If it's a relationship, God can restore relationships. If you're financially strapped, He can supply all of your needs. So why look so down and defeated? You ain't defeated. You got the victory living inside you. You got Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victor. Amen.